Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Danny and Dusty.
All right. My rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal.
What?
This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors have smashed the Raptor smithereens.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number three, Danny and Dusty with you. It is National Signing Day, part two. Yesterday we had Andrew Nemec on, recruiting show with Andrew Nemec. He's also the National Director of Recruiting.
Kind of good at that stuff.
For SB Live. And shout-outs to Andrew Nemec, who posted a Twitter photo in the urgent care lobby this morning. Not good. He's got a bit of a little ear infection, I think. So I hope you feel better, Nemec. Not a great day to be ill. But we talked yesterday with Nemec about the fireworks that could happen on National Signing Day. There were two big prospects that everybody kind of had their eye on out here on the West Coast. One of them, Nicholas Harbor, who's a five-star athlete. The top uncommitted prospect in the country is down to Oregon and South Carolina. And he ended up choosing the Gamecocks today. This morning, he's got world class speed. Oregon would have used him as an edge rusher at 6'5" and 230 pounds. They would have used him as an edge rusher. He ended up going to South Carolina, and it's hilarious. Kind of the stories that are coming out of this now is that apparently he was down to Oregon and South Carolina, and because his girlfriend is going to South Carolina, that's why.
Is he marrying
Who
her?
Who writes these storylines up anyway?
You know what? Speaking of writing storylines, this was another way that I was thinking about going with the worst day on the web. Did you see what Arian Foster said yesterday?
Yeah, that was great.
But they talk about storylines.
Yeah.
Who do you think wrote the National Signing Day script for today?
Yeah, that's and if you missed it, Arian Foster did a parody bit for Barstool Sports about the NFL being totally scripted,
mm-hmm.
and people bought it.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah, but. So the Ducks ended up missing on him. The other prospect mm-hmm. that we talked with Nemec about was Roderick Pleasant, who is the fastest man in California's history.
Which,
or fastest boy, because he's in high school.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The fastest 100 meter in high school history.
Remind
in
me
California.
Again, where do the fastest people in the country come from? There's three states.
Well,
California,
Texas,
Florida, Texas.
Yeah.
If
well,
you're the,
say the South.
If you're the fastest in California, when you're talking about all of the track talent
yep.
that comes out of that place,
yep.
you are fast.
Yes, he is. He's world class fast.
Literally Olympic caliber speed.
Yep. And he will be playing defensive back, and I think he's the number two rated track prospect in the country. And he is going to the University of Oregon. He picked the Ducks over USC and UCLA. So that is a decent win for Oregon going into SC and UCLA territory and plucking one of the top track prospects, and he's a four-star defensive back to come up and play in Eugene. Outside of that, There was a tight end, a four-star tight end, committed to USC today.
Yes.
And he's going to go on his mission.
He'll be out
for
till the 2024 season, which is interesting because I don't know who's playing tight end for USC this next year. But there's also the specter of Deuce Robinson out there, who was...
Did you just call him Deuce?
Deuce?
I think we're going to have to check the tape on that one.
Freudian slip for no longer being a USC prospect. Not that USC is out on him, but it does sound like he is going somewhere else. He's the number one tight end in the country in that class. He was Central Catholic before he went down to Arizona, right?
I have no idea.
He was up here before he went down to Arizona.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
But he's at Compass, sure. I believe. Compass Prep.
Sure.
I think that's the school. That's the IMG Academy of Arizona.
Yeah. I think he was at Pinnacle.
Pinnacle. Okay. There's a
Pinnacle High School.
There's a couple of those now popping up in Arizona. But
I'm going to be completely honest. I had no idea he was from up here.
Yeah.
Was he?
I'm almost certain he was. Oh. I could be wrong.
I don't know. I have no idea. Continue.
Anyways, it does sound like USC is going to miss out on him. So they end up getting a kid who's going to be gone for another year. So just kind of how they shift things around is certainly interesting. But it's I believe he's the number 11 recruit out of California.
That's not a bad guy to have there.
No, when you're getting top 10, top 15 guys, that's always those are good names to see show up on National Signing Day.
Yeah, that is very, very true. And this is the part of the February signing period that is one that it kind of takes a little bit of the luster out of it. I think if you're looking at it in the Pac-12, though, as a whole, there's a lot of big waves that were made on this, the second day, where most of the big-time prospects, they're gone. And if you are a Portland State fan or you're an FCS fan, this is your big signing day. If you're a small college fan, this is a huge signing day. The big programs, though, it's back in December. I think the Roderick Pleasant signing is a big one. Mm-hmm. I think you've heard of Power Rank 'em, though. Kenny Dillingham made the biggest splash of the day.
Woo!
Down at Arizona State.
Because we thought it was Miami.
Because he ended up plucking Jaden Rashada, the Pittsburgh, California prospect, who, remember, he had the $13 million name, image, and likeness deal with the University of Florida. And when that fell through, he got out. And he ended up committing today and signing with Arizona State. And this is a big one for Kenny Dillingham because they went and they plucked the quarterback out of Notre Dame as kind of their stopgap this year. And this is huge for Kenny Dillingham and company because it adds depth in the Pac-12. And Rashada had a really interesting kind of message when he posted his
little
his
announcement.
Commitment.
Yeah.
He said, I just want to start off by thanking the Lord for my journey. How could you not?
Of course.
You know, that's what you do. And the strength to get through whatever was and is put in front of me. Thank you to everybody who truly knows me for me. Just want to keep this short and let it be known. I'll be attending Arizona State University, my childhood dream school, my father's alma mater, a place where I'm happy and a school where the head coach has always had my back. Yikes. Glad to truly be home. Can't wait to carry on the family name at the university and start my journey, forks up. Look at that. A place where I'm happy and a school where the head coach always has my back. If that's not a shot at Billy Napier at Florida, I don't know what is. Because, whoa, Nelly. That tells you that there was a lot more than just an NIL deal falling through at Florida. There was a rift between he and Billy Napier down on campus.
Yeah, no, it wasn't just the bag disappearing. It was the bag disappearing and probably some uncomfortable phone calls and conversations.
Yeah, yeah. So that was that. Those are the big splashes today. SC gets a 4-star tight end from their own backyard. Jaden Rashada, the 4-star quarterback, goes to Kenny Dillingham in Arizona State. And Oregon gets one of the fastest commits in the country in Roderick Pleasant to go into that secondary.
High schooler running a 10-1-4-100.
Is that good? That's good. That was a track coach. That's good.
Yeah, that's
yeah, track. That's good.
That broke the California state record that has stood for 37 years.
Yeah. Yeah. He can burn.
Dumb fast. That's the kind of kid where if he changes. I mean, if you're looking for a comparison, look at Allen for Oregon.
And Devin Allen?
Yeah. I mean, that's he's that kind of speed.
He's faster than
Devin Allen, faster as a high schooler.
10-1 is ridiculous.
I mean, that's tweaks within your form to getting a sub 10.
Yeah. Here's a text that says, so if I'm the fastest man ever from South Dakota, how much am I allowed to brag? That depends on how fast you are. Like, if the fastest kid ever in South Dakota is a 10-7, not a lot. Not
10,
a lot.
10-2?
Yeah.
Well, now you're talking.
I think 10-5, you can always brag at 10-5. I mean, but no, you can always brag if you're, like, the fastest man ever from a state. That's awesome. Like, that's really cool.
Like, even in a small population, you're still going to have some dudes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Roger Maris is from North Dakota.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
You know what I mean? Like stuff like that, you know, it happens.
Yeah. I'm looking right here. The 2023 fastest 200 meter in indoor track this year. Nicholas Harbor, the guy who
the absolute freak that is going to South Carolina.
That was down with Oregon. It was down to Oregon this year. He has run the fastest indoor track speed 200 in the country this year for high schoolers.
Oh, and by the way,
it's not bad.
Roderick Pleasant, 5'11", buck 85.
Yes.
Nicholas Harbor, 6'5", 230.
Is that? Yeah, that's good. Jeez Louise.
He is a Julius Peppers-esque freak.
Yeah. I'm looking at this right now. For the 2022 outdoor track season,
mm-hmm.
the fastest times, this is insane, the fastest high school time, 10:08. From Pierre Gory, Duncanville, Texas.
Always. Well, yeah. Remember, what was the high school that came to Oregon for the Les Schaub tournament?
Duncanville. They were ranked number one in the country. They won the football state title, too.
So football, basketball, and track. Huh. Weird. Almost like they have a factory going down there.
My God. These kids are freaks.
They're mutants. They're mutants. Fastest, that's what they are.
Fastest high school 400 last year was a 45.6.
What? No.
Yeah, kid from Ohio.
You're kidding.
Yeah. They got fast kids, man.
They're just getting faster and faster.
That's right. That's right. Yes, they are.
Jeez.
All right. So that is your signing day wrap-up. Oregon State, always quiet on the Beavs front. The big one for Oregon now is I think they got 92 scholarship players, if I'm correct.
How many are you allowed to have?
84. You're gonna have to get down a little bit. On the scholarship count, but that will be something that kind of works itself out over spring ball, and it's kind of one of those dirty things with the recruiting portal now is or with the transfer portal, unrecruiting your own roster. 503-250-1080. That is a fan text line. This is Danny.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Come on, man.
But there's also the specter of Vince Robinson, who was
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
What's the ruling on that? I'm gonna need a clear listening of that because there's music.
It was douche.
He said douche. Yeah.
Did I? Yeah.
That'll happen.
Yeah. But there's also the specter of Deuce Robinson out there, who was... it's a little bit of both.
Oh, that's a douche.
It's a douche, but it is a shh at the end, too.
I like that.
I'm going to blame my tongue and dry mouth.
Look at you. You went full USC fan. I mean, doesn't come into my school, douche. It was Deuce. Deuce. We're going Deuce. All right. Who may go play baseball professionally.
He's that good of an athlete.
Or go to Georgia.
The ace.
Georgia, those are good. Those are good.
Georgia's not a baseball school, though.
Remember, that's weird. Remember Justin Fields?
Hmm.
Do you remember when he transferred from Georgia? Why he transferred? to Ohio State?
Why?
Was because when he was a member of the baseball team, like somebody used like a racial slur directed at him. I think that was the excuse. That was, or not excuse, reasoning for his immediate eligibility transfer. Yeah.
So they don't take too
that would make sense.
Too kindly to baseball.
Well, I think every SEC team is really good at baseball.
I can't think of the last time I saw Georgia being involved in baseball at the highest levels. Like, they're softball, very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. I don't remember them, like, Florida baseball? Yeah. For sure. But Georgia?
Yeah, no, it was a Georgia fan shares racist comments allegedly made by a UGA baseball player towards Justin Fields.
Oh, God, it was another player?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Not great.
And he was kicked off the team, and then the kid sued Georgia. Wow.
Huh.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
Yeah. All right. So,
Georgia's going to Georgia from time to time.
To your point, though, about Georgia baseball, that is the story I remember about Georgia baseball, not them making it to Omaha.
Yes, there you go. When your baseball program is known more for its racism than its successful play on the field.
That's not good, Bob.
No.
That's very, 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 very bad.
Very 1960s of Georgia.
Ew. Yeah. 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 Yeah, it is.
Where's Jerry Jones when you need him?
Wow. Jeepers creepers.
And you can't even say he's catching strays because, well, he was there.
Yeah, no, he was. He, as he said, he was just curious. Like, all right.
Curious about racism is always a fun one, right?
Yeah.
Just how racist are we here, guys?
Yeah.
Let me take a look.
All right. The football. Tom Brady retired. And today, that eliminated the San Francisco 49ers at the quarterback position of getting one Thomas Edward Angel Face Brady as their quarterback. The end of the year press conferences are ongoing in San Francisco, where we heard yesterday from Trey Lance, who said that he will be available for offseason activities.
At least one quarterback will.
We heard Brock Purdy say that they are undecided on a course of action or treatment for his UCL, whether it'll be a full-on Tommy John reconstruction.
Which is 12 to 16 months.
9 to 12 months.
Oh, have they shortened it up that much now?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
God.
9 to 12 months for Tommy John, 6 months if you just go in and get the
repair. The cleanup, yeah.
So we're not sure which one they're going to be getting there. And today, you are hearing just shots fired.
John Lynch.
And Kyle Shanahan, though, about whether or not Jimmy G could ever come back.
Is there a scenario in which you guys could see Jimmy being back? And if so, what would that look like?
No, I don't see any scenario of that. Yeah, no, I gotcha.
No,
nope,
gotcha. It. Yeah, knew who you were talking about. Still don't see it happening. That guy was like, oh, damn. I was hoping he was thinking of like another Jimmy on the team. No, Jimmy Garoppolo.
He gone.
Not a chance. And then the John Lynch, though, Woof. With Trey Lance, that's a different story.
I mean, when you're talking about where things currently sit, you cannot find a quarterback situation probably more egregious and upset and disturbed than the one in San Francisco. And this John Lynch a little bit ago said, in response to you know what to expect from Trey Lance next year, Trey's had a rough go here the past couple years. Trey's obviously going to have to prove that he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
That's not, hey, as long as Trey's healthy, he's going to be the starting quarterback. It's, we got to make sure he's even able to be healthy yet.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
That, I appreciate the honesty, though, with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Like, this is the
blunt
thing.
Assessments.
And I think this is why it works there, like, bringing Jimmy back this year, is that they were honest with, he's not in our plans moving forward to be our quarterback. And then you bring the guy in because Trey Lance gets hurt.
Because you had to.
And it's like, no, this is what we are looking to upgrade this position in any way possible. And why sugarcoat it when you're talking about Trey Lance either? And that is, I know that it may seem like it's harsh in this era of, hey, we prop everybody up and kind of protect all of the players on our team and stars in the league. If you know Trey Lance, he knows. That guy knows he needs to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
because the best ability is availability. And if you cannot be out there, you're no good to the Niners. And that's 2 years now he's gotten hurt. And so John Lynch is just telling the truth. I think what's kind of sad is that we're surprised that John Lynch is saying what everybody already knows, including Trey Lance.
Because managers, owners, coaches, they always have some form of speak or some form of some sort of filter.
Yeah.
And if you want to liken this back to Portland, I think that's been the change here, is that there's been more open and honesty. And I think with the San Francisco, it's kind of the same situation, is that they've come to expect and respect that form of openness and honesty.
I'll tell you, there is a big kind of black cloud over San Francisco that nobody really wants to talk about, though, and that is, yeah, you can say Trey Lance needs to stay healthy. They have a problem keeping quarterbacks healthy.
In general.
They have a problem keeping their best players healthy over the course of the year. Deebo Samuel, and like, high ankle sprains are, they happen, man. And it's not like that's a fault of the training staff. But Deebo goes down. You have Kittle who goes down.
McCaffrey's
Nick Bosa goes down. And that's not like, he hasn't had one yet.
But you're waiting for that shoe to drop. Yeah.
But they have had, every single year their secondary is depleted by injury. Like, there is something there when that many guys continually get injured. Some of them are just freak injuries that just happens.
Do you want to tighten the tinfoil on the turf?
But I don't know what it is. There is something there, because this is not just a one-off with San Francisco.
And it's a lot of lower body injuries.
Every single year, they have got massive injuries. And one of them may just be like a Bosa thing, because Nick and Joey Bosa, they both have it.
Yeah, because
they're both injury prone.
They're freak bodies on frames that shouldn't exist.
Man, if there was a... If I would love to hear, because all of the California teams just ravaged this year by injury. Like, in seemingly... more so in critical positions than other teams have.
And the Rams are another team. Everybody, when we talk about hurt. The turf, they're a slit turf field.
The Rams are? So the Rams and the Chargers are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the turf is grass that's just terrible in San Francisco.
But I'm wondering if that's also a factor.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea, man. But it's gnarly there in San Francisco, and they're not holding back. They pull no punches. They need a quarterback. And with Brady out, now, it'll be very interesting where they turn. Is it truly Purdy, Lance, and that's it? We're going to run with it. What John Lynch said today, it doesn't seem like it. They're going to continue to push at that position.
They're in a Super Bowl window. You have to.
The one position they can. And they can't really pay that position because they're paying everybody else. They've got a lot of guys already locked up, and that's the benefit of having two
rookie
young
skilled
quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But they've got other guys that are coming up very soon. Oh, man. All right, 503-250-1080. That is our fan text line. That's how you can be a part of the show. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. We haven't even talked about this yet. I was looking down at my notes. The one storyline a Super Bowl team definitely does not want to have the Eagles are going through. Mm-hmm. Here's Rust.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Well, this is a story that nobody ever wants to see. Eagles offensive lineman Josh Sills indicted by a grand jury on one count of rape and one count of kidnapping, both first-degree felonies. He has been put on the commissioner's exempt list and is no longer with the Philadelphia Eagles, as they're 10 days out from going and playing in the Super Bowl, for goodness sakes. And this scumbag is probably going to be going to prison if the accounts that were taken to the grand jury and the grand jury said, yeah, I think charges should be filed. If those do go to court and he is found guilty, he'll be going to prison.
For a long time.
For a really long time.
We won't go into the details of it because it's bad.
It is very bad.
It's bad. But again, charges of kidnapping and rape. They're not going to be. When you read the charges, they're not going to read off great.
My question about this whole thing is, like, the account of it is pretty gross when you hear about it.
Specific and gross, yeah. Yes.
But why did they wait so long? Because this happened in 2019.
December of 2019. It's not a case of, we should probably report this. It was reported that night. Or the next day, reading through it, it was reported immediately. Was how it was told. Why did it take 3+ years to get here?
Yeah, and apparently this happened in his hometown. At the time, he was a member of West Virginia's football team,
A woman that he went to high school with and had known for 7 or 8 years.
So he is going to West Virginia. He then transfers for the 2020 season to Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
And happened in 2019.
And then how does that school not know?
It was reported apparently immediately, and this is why it's like confusing as to why it took this long to actually get to this point. And if it was reported right away, then was it also reported to West Virginia? Did that have something to do with this transfer? I mean, these are all questions that now people are going to be asking. And it's a gross story on Josh Sill's part and for the young woman involved in it. But also now you're opening this whole thing up as to, all right, so if this was known for 4 years, well, 3 years, because it happened in December of 2019, so the end of 2019. So if we'd known this for 3 years and police were looking into it, what gives here?
Why are the Eagles adding him?
Why was he on Oklahoma State? Then why – it could have something to do with the fact he went undrafted, but then the Eagles adding him, and this all just not adding up as to the legal process. But as it is, he's on the commissioner's exempt list. He won't be in Glendale for the Super Bowl or part of the Eagles moving forward, I would guess. So,
look,
brutal.
The caveat of innocent until proven guilty, but...
Yeah, oh yeah, of course, but...
It reads very, very awful.
And these are usually things that keep teams away.
Yes.
Keep teams away.
Especially something this egregious. And this doesn't have this necessarily the he said, she said connotations. It's very specific details.
Yep. All right. So that's the grim news of the day. I can't wait to actually start talking about the Super Bowl, though, because, look, we are at a time. This is our kind of dead zone. And I don't like to beat people over the head with the old same storylines over and over and over and over and over again, because it gets so redundant as you're going through Super Bowls. But on the surface, looking at Philly, Kansas City, it's got everything that you could imagine. You're going to have electric quarterback play, two great defenses, two great defensive lines. You got Andy Reid, the walrus, looking to get over the hump again. You have storylines galore
Andy Reid
about
Bowl.
Your quarterbacks. Yeah, you have Andy Reid taking Chiefs. On the team who moved on from him.
Who said he couldn't win.
Well, they've won a Super Bowl and then gotten back to a Super Bowl since, so
maybe
that's pretty good.
Maybe it wasn't the coach.
But, it could have a happy ending for both in these. Great uniform matchup.
Oh, yeah, stark contrast between the teal and red.
It's going to be great.
Who's wearing white?
The Chiefs are wearing white.
Okay. So, I was because the Eagles' whites are not good. Chiefs' whites, good.
Eagles going green jerseys, white pants.
You know what would have been great is great if they wore their black helmets.
Oh, I don't. You can't do that for the Super Bowl.
I know you can't, but.
You can, but you don't. No. Yeah. No, you don't do that for the Super Bowl.
I'm just saying.
You wear green.
It would look that or their throwback Eagles helmets.
Well, they should be wearing Kelly green.
That's what they should
be wearing.
But it's just such a stark contrast to the Chiefs color palette.
I like it all. This text to 503-250-1080 says, if he goes to jail and the Eagles win, does he still get a ring? Yeah, he would. He would still get a ring. I think it's anybody who's on the team at any point.
Yeah, that's how that works in baseball and NBA. I'm almost certain it's the same in the NFL.
Yeah. Okay. 503-250-1080 is the fan text line. We send you off with a little bit of goodness. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Boom, 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 boom. Now tell me what you're gonna do, but it ain't no better from. When judgment comes for you, when judgment comes for you.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
I thought the first words there were, I'm a hippopotamus for a long time.
You didn't grab the sleeve?
I don't know. I don't even know what that means. I don't know what grab the sleeve means.
The lyrics are the inside of the sleeve.
Oh, no. I always tried to figure out. Bone Thugs and Harmony, I would never try to figure out what that. I was just like, yeah.
You remember those days?
I'm a hippopotamus. This song came out when I was like 10.
God.
I also remember... my mom being like the, Italian Catholic lady, little old Italian Catholic lady that she is, when I was listening to Crossroads and Ouija, Are You With Me? You know,
Ouija board?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the door got kicked in when that was being played. What are you listening to?
Dun, dun, like, dun, dun.
Or what are you doing? She thought I like had a Ouija board, was like talking to the dead, because apparently Catholicism frowns upon talking to the dead.
Not big fans of the calling
devil's play.
Satan. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I had a CD, and she's like, I don't like this music. I'm like, all right.
Wait till you hear about First of the Month.
Let me turn it up a little bit more. So that's me and Bone Thugs. Got a couple Bone Thug stories there.
There you go. I like it. I do miss the days of pulling out the insert to read the lyrics.
Yeah.
When I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Now if you got like Spotify, they have the Lyric Master or whatever. It'll like tell you immediately.
How great is that? Great is technology? Like, you can just Shazam something.
Have you ever gotten Shazam out fast enough to check?
Well, like on the commercials where they're like, oh yeah, you can, if there's music on a commercial. No.
But I mean,
happen.
Like, when you're like, oh, what is
but
this
in
song?
A car, yeah. I have. But here's the thing, is that that song, well, most radio stations now have the scroll of what the song is.
Yes.
That's one little key there. The other one is that I've already missed it like 4 times, and so I have to be ready for it, and then I'm scrambling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
great idea really, in theory.
It is.
In practice, it does not work.
Yeah.
I have tried probably a dozen times in my life. I'm like, and it's always, I just happen to catch something right at the tail end of it. I'm like, ooh, what is this? Who is this? And then it's like, commercial break.
Damn.
Like, ah, God dang it.
Well, missed on that one.
I have to try again.
Okay. About a little bit of good here. We were talking Super Bowl a little bit.
We might do
Kevin
that
Burkhart and Greg Olson on the call. Do you feel bad for Greg Olson a little bit that Tom Brady's coming for his number one chair?
Yes, because Olson's very good.
He's great.
I don't think Brady's going to be good.
Why do you think that?
Because he's a soulless, personalityless person. Not entertaining to listen to. I've never heard Tom Brady talk when I'm like, yeah, no, I'm really interested in what Tom has to say here.
Oh, I think he's going to be great.
You think so?
I think he is going to be great. That's just not me and my love for Tom Brady either, because he is very smart football-wise.
He's a football savant. There's no doubt
about
that.
But he also, I think, the thing that Greg Olson does that's fantastic is he dumbs it down for everybody. Like Romo is
dresses
like
it up a little bit.
He's just the guessing guy now. Like, that's his shtick.
Yeah, thing, of what they're going to do next.
And yes. I think if I had my drop board, I'd play my Romo drop.
Your sound effects?
Oh, boy. It's a whole deal with the thing and the guy. Romo really dives into it. You got it? No, Russ doesn't have it. No, he has no idea. But Greg Olson is just, he's fantastic.
He's just really good.
My one complaint from Olson over the weekend was the moment I saw the Devontae Smith non-catch, mm-hmm. he never even said anything about it. Like, it was like...
You think him and Chris Collinsworth are in cahoots for receivers in general, catchers of the ball?
Yeah, gosh, I guess so. But immediately, I was like, I don't think he caught it. And then as Devontae Smith's whamming his hands together, I'm like, I definitely don't think he caught it now. As they tried to go hurry up, and he didn't even mention it until, like, after they'd kicked off, gone to commercial, and then come back, like, hey, maybe he didn't catch it. That was the only thing that I was looking at, but... His monitor, he's probably going with looking at a replay already. And that's one of the hard parts, too, that you just don't know, is that these guys have producers talking in their ear. And Olsen does a good job of rolling with that and dialing up what he wants to go back and look over again. And I think that's my favorite part about him when he's doing those.
Just the callbacks and actually yeah. highlighting certain things. Yeah. I think you're spot on about how he dumbs things down in a very – it's in a non – I don't know, non-threatening manner. He takes very advanced concepts and makes them easily digestible to a larger audience. Yeah. I think he does a very good job of doing live what Dan Orlovsky does with a ton of studio prep. Yeah. And that is a very specific skill set. It is not something that is easily done. On the basketball side of things, I think Lamar Hurd kind of does it the same way.
Yeah.
If you're looking for like a kind of an idea of what I'm talking about. I think you have to have an elite mind that understands those things, but you also just have to have an eloquence and a way of, wow, that came out of nowhere, figuring that out.
Yeah. Well, I will just end it with, I don't think Tom Brady would have his resume that he does if it wasn't for his ability to relate to people, you know? That's how you get Boonchin, Miss Croatia, Bridget Moynihan.
You sure that's what it is?
Tara Reid.
You sure that's what it is?
You got to have some sort of personality there.
Eh.
Line of delineation.
Money and jawlines are probably, probably a larger part of that.
That's true.
Have you seen Pete Davidson?
Yeah, he's got a huge personality.
Exactly.
Well, I think that just made the point. Like, mm-hmm. Pete Davidson does have a huge personality.
Am I the only one that was surprised to learn exactly how tall Pete Davidson was? Just for some reason, watching him on Saturday Night Live, I always thought he was like 5'8".
I can tell you what's 5'8 about him.
Wait, how tall is Pete Davidson?
He's tall. Like, he's 6-something, anyway. I'll just put much taller than I anticipated him being. He looks small to me, but he's not a small dude.
Dynamite size right there. He's 6-something. Yeah. Have a great Wednesday. See you Thursday. I'm next prime time.
Bye.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.